good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Psalms. We're going to turn to the third Psalm. And I trust you got your Bibles, because I'm not a palm reader. I got to admit that. Once you find your place there in the third Psalm, if you please stand in the honor of reading Father's holy word. We're going to read all eight verses. We'll pray and see what the Lord has for us this morning. The third Psalm starts off, and you should always read the title of the Psalm as it's there. It says, "The Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Verse 8 says, "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah." The Lord being our helper this morning, we'd like to bring the sermon on this thought. There is more reason to trust. There is more reason to trust. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again for this opportunity, this joy, this privilege to get to come here to Whiting Baptist and present your word to your people. And I thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity. I pray, Father, for Pastor Max and his back there, for the healing that he needs for it. And we pray, Father, for the church, the local assembly here, Father, Lord, that you'd help each and every one of them, Lord, to grow, to become the Christians that you'd have them to be. That this local assembly would grow in number and in spirit especially. I pray, Father, for my voice this morning, that they will be able to hold out and present the word the way that you'd have me to your people. And we pray, Father, for your blessings upon all the prayer requests, Lord, that you know what each and every one of them is. And we ask, Father, that you take care of them as you see fit. Thank you, Lord, once again, for all you've done for us, for all the blessings you bestowed upon us, especially that greatest blessing of all, salvation. We love you, Father, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So there is more reason to trust. Now, as the title of the psalm here goes, the Psalm of David, when he fled from Absalom, his son, there came a point in time in David's life when his son Absalom rebelled against him, and decided that he should be sitting on the throne of Israel, and therefore he was going to run his father David out of town, and he was just going to take over. As a matter of fact, he got to the point that he was more than willing to go and to have his own dad executed, just to make sure that he could have the throne. Church, may I say that we are living in a world that is doing exactly the same thing to us. They are wanting to run us out of town on a rail. They have absolutely no problems whatsoever with wanting to stone us, to throw us out of town, to put us in jail, to mock us, to execute us if they could possibly do it. And we think about the Kim Davis there and what she just went through this past week there, and how for some strange reason this judge was able to lock her up without offering any sort of bail for her, without giving her any sort of a chance whatsoever. It was that this is what the Supreme Court has declared, and therefore, that's what you should be following. I have a huge problem with that, if for no other reason than her beliefs came before the ruling was handed down. She should have been covered that way. As a matter of fact, they would have been trying for months upon months before the Supreme Court even handed down their verdict that they were trying to get the law passed so that she would not have to have her name signed to those legal documents there. And that would make it all right with her conscience then, because she would not be approving of these gay marriages. But because they couldn't get the legislation passed through in time, They therefore were able to say, well, you are a bigot, you are a hater, you are a homophobe, and therefore you need to be locked up because of your beliefs. Church, this is not the first time in history this has happened. You can't get up behind the pulpit here and preach against homosexuality in Canada, because they're in Canada. They can lock you up for it. There are other sins that are going around that we are supposed to be okay with. We've got this thing, as a matter of fact, it's called a sin tax. And what that is, it allows for the sales of alcohol and cigarettes and whatnot to be A-okay because we're putting a tax on them. Go out to Las Vegas and you'll find, I'm sorry to say this, but I'm going to say it, you'll find that prostitution is legal there. As a matter of fact, it is not only legal, it is condoned. And they've got a whole system set up to make sure that the prostitutes get as much health care as possible to protect the industry there. The number one city here in these United States of America that suffers from suicide is not Seattle, Washington, where you would think that it would be horrible there because it's always raining and dreary. Actually, it is Las Vegas, Nevada that leads this country in suicides. And while all the other states here, they are able to sit down and say, well, this is why we think that suicide is the number one reason. Las Vegas will not admit to any sort of reasoning why they believe that suicide is the number one there. Because all the statistics are showing that it goes back to gambling, where it obviously is very legal there in Las Vegas. But that would hurt the trade, and therefore we can't talk about that. Well, we can run Christians down with no problem. We can say how evil the Christians are because they're not willing to accept other people and their beliefs. Well, my Bible says that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. I'm sorry, Allah is not God Almighty. My Father's first name is Jehovah. His last name is not hell. It's not, I'm sorry, damn it. His name is Jehovah, God Almighty, Elohim, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But it's okay if you go ahead and take His name in vain. Not my name. But Christians, we're under attack because we're not willing to bend. We're not willing to sit here and say it's all right to go and teach our kids in school that Allah is one God. And that Allah is the only God. He is a God with a lowercase g, and He is a false God at that. My God is the God. He is the way. He is the only one. But I'm wrong for saying that. That's hate speech. But you know what, church? It don't matter what this world's got to say. My God is still on His throne. My God has never been sick. My God is not dead. You say, can you prove that? Yeah. I'm next of kin, and next of kin is supposed to be notified when someone dies.
Amen.
Praise God, Brother Fred. He ain't sick because I ain't been told nothing about it. So there is more reason to trust. When the enemy comes, don't worry about it. Turn to Him. Verse number 1 says, the Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. That word trouble, I looked it up there in the Strong's Dictionary this morning. And it says that word here means to be narrow. It means that they're trying to set a trap, where they're trying to focus us, where they're trying to get us into their little pigeonhole here, Brother Ed, so that they can do with us what they want. Aiden, Xander, I need a couple of volunteers. Come on up here, boys. I told them I was going to draft them this morning. I don't think they believe me. I used to do that when I preached here 3 years ago. All right, one on each side. Come on over here. I love these boys. These boys have helped me so many times. I appreciate them. But I want you to notice something here. That when I came up here to this aisle, and I'm walking down the middle, I had plenty of room on both sides. Now, the enemy want to sit here, they want to focus us down and narrow it down so that we cannot get through, so that we have to compromise, so that we got to do what they would want us to do.
As a matter of fact, it would be the same thing as me trying to go this way. I can't exactly walk this way. I've got to turn this way in order to be able to fit. But the Bible says there in Amos chapter number 3, and verse number 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? You know what? I don't have to worry about going down that spot right there where there ain't room, where the world wants me to go. Because I'm walking with God. Because I've got Jesus Christ. And on the inside I've got the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And what that does is it fills up so much more here. So that I don't have to worry about going down this terrible way here that's going to lead me to destruction. I've got the protection on each side of me. Praise God. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've got Jesus Christ. I've got God Almighty. And He's going to take care of me. No matter how it's all about. No matter how hard the enemy tries to narrow us down. I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Now all the way. Thank you, boys. All the way is right now. That leads to God. That leads to heaven, and broad is the way that leads to hell. Praise God. I've got God there with me, and He ain't going to let me go down this way, this path of destruction, so long as I focus on Him. But when we don't focus on Him, we get into trouble. I just had the boys up here. They're not here no more. You know what? It's the same thing as a Christian when he backslides. And he just starts going off doing his own thing, and he's walking into this, and he's falling over this. God's getting off their trouble. But when we get back to God, and we do go back to God, He does allow you to turn. He asks us to come back to Him. He'll be right there for us again. We don't have to worry about getting in those narrow paths where the enemy's wanting troubles, where the enemy's wanting to hurt us. There is more reason to hope. There is more reason to trust than what the world would want you to think. The world wants you to sit there and say, God don't care about you. God loves me so much that Jesus came and died upon the cross, saved someone like me. I'll never ever deserve it. Praise God, but I'm still saved. I'm still saved. It's pitiful, church. So when the world tells you there's no more reason to trust in Him, He's forsaken you, you let them know, no, He's right there with me. Verse number 2 says, many there be which say in my soul, there is no help for him in God. That phrase there be which say. In other words, church, they're sitting there, they're needling us. They're giving us the needle. They're egging us on. They're saying a whole bunch of things, brother. Oh, look at you this morning. Oh, look at Whiting Baptist. Their pastor ain't here today. They ain't got the fancy music being played. Oh, look at them. Look at all the empty seats. That's what they're wanting us to look at, church. They're wanting us to look at the woe is me factor. They're wanting us to sit there and say, oh, look at them. That church ain't filled. That church ain't been filled in a long time. You know what? It's not about the numbers. It's a matter of how close we are to God. Are we willing to walk with Him? Are we willing to do what the Lord would have us to do? Are we going to let the enemy give us the needle? You know, over there in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse number 2, we read about Jezebel. And she decided to give old Elijah the needle. He just come off a great big victory there, challenging the prophets of Baal. Who can call down? Who's God can call down fire? And they had most of the day, and they weren't able to call down fire. Elijah got down there and repaired the altar of the Lord. He got down there, and he dug a trench right around the altar. He set the sacrifice up on top of the wood. He had to pour 12 barrels of precious water in the middle of a drought. At the end of the drought, poured on the sacrifice there. And then he got down on his knees there, and he cried out to a holy and a righteous God, asking that He sit in the fire. Church, when was the last time we asked God to sit in the fire when the enemy's coming and sticking us with those needles there? Ask God, sit in the fire. Praise God. He's got his mind off of God, though. And he let Jezebel scare him away. And he got himself leading a revival that the nation of Israel was getting ready to have. He got it and started running away. But when he got his heart right with the Lord, he came back and his strength and power. You say, really, preacher, can you say that? Yeah, because my Bible tells me that the prophecy was told that the forerunner for Jesus Christ would come in the strength and the power and the spirit of Elijah. And the disciples asked Jesus, hey, what about that prophecy there? And the forerunner is supposed to come in the power of Elijah. And Jesus said he did come. It was John the Baptist, and y'all didn't recognize him. Church,
We need to start calling down the fire when the enemy starts giving us the meal. When the enemy's sitting there trying to put us in a narrow way, trying to hurt us. Because there's more reason to trust in the Lord than what the enemy wants us to see. But I want you to notice something there. At the end of verse number 2, it says Selah. That word Selah is a musical pause. It means to sit there and reflect upon what you just said. In other words, throw it neutral. Not as a matter of I'm going to just kick back here. And I ain't going to do nothing else for God now. Someone else can take care of it. No. The Bible says that we're supposed to meditate day and night upon His Word. The Bible says for us to pray without ceasing. The Bible tells us that we are to study, show ourselves approved unto God. Kick it neutral here. Instead of trying to go forward and stumbling over things and hurting ourselves, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and what He's got prepared for us. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, He says. He promises, let us go over to the other side. When we start getting the needle thrown our way, when the way begins to become narrow, put it neutral there and say, Lord, I need You. Lord, I want to follow You. Verse number 3, I want you to see the now rising part. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I like that part, the lifter up of mine head. Brother Fred, I got to thinking about that this morning there. And the thought came to my mind is that it doesn't say the lifter of my head. Because when you think the lifter of my head, you think someone just came along with a sword or an axe or something and cut your head off and pulled the head right on up. Executing me. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do. But it says the lifter of my head. So when your head is down and you're defeated and the shoulders are slumped, the Lord comes along and He lifts up that head. Come on back, focus on me. The lifter of my head. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 13. I want to make sure I say recite this correct there, so I'm not even going to try to do it from memory. Philippians chapter number 4, verse 13 says this. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He doesn't say I can do some things through Christ. He doesn't say I might be able to do a few things through Christ. He says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And brothers and sisters, that encourages me. That lifts up my soul. That lifts up my head when I know that God is going to be able to do it. That God has done it. And that God is doing it. And God will continue to do it. That's some rising that I need. But back there in our text of Psalm 3, verse number 4, it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. See? He said, I cried unto the Lord. May I say that notice is given. Now, I know that God knows all things. I am not going to deny that in any way, shape, or form. My God is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. He is all-present. But the Bible does say for us to pray without ceasing. To cast all our cares upon Him, for He careth for me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that is the matter of Jesus' telling. Go tell God Almighty all about it. Give Him notice. Lord, this is what's going on in my life. This is why we take prayer requests, so that we can share the burdens. So that we can let God know, hey, this is what's going on in this sister's life, in this brother's life here. And Lord, we need You because You're the only one who can take care of it for us. And we need You, Lord, to be able to come to us to help us. James chapter number 5 and verse number 16 tells us that we are supposed to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that He may be healed. You see, when I sit here and I tell you, well, this is what's going on in my life, it's bringing healing into my life. But when you sit there and you tell me about it and we both begin to pray about each other's needs, that's bringing healing into our lives as well.
We get healing from telling others what's going on. We get healing from telling God what's going on for others. Give Him some notice. Let Him know, this is what's going on, Lord. I need help. By the way, also give Him notice how good you feel about Him. Lord, I'm so thankful. This is what You did for me. You saved a sinner like me. Lord, You gave me all these blessings today. Lord, You gave me oxygen to be able to breathe today. Lord, I appreciate all that You've got for me, all that You've done for me, all that You've got to do for me. Just today, I challenge you on this. Next time you go to pray, instead of sitting there saying, God, this is what all I need, take that list and put it away. Lord, this is why I'm thankful. I'm telling you, church, if you'll do that just one time, the difference it will make for you is mind-blowing. Just letting God know how much you love Him. How much you care for Him. Because think about it. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. I like when my daughter says, thank you, Daddy. I like when my daughter says, Daddy, I love you. He's the same way with his children, too. When was the last time we thanked Him? When was the last time we just sat down and said, Lord, I love you. Give Him some notice. But I want you to see not only is notice given, but notice is taken. Verse number 4 goes on to say, and He heard me out of His holy hill. The answer may not come right away that we want. It may not come in the time that we think we need. Lord, I need an answer right now. What is taking so long? But it comes in His time and His way. Now sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is go slow. Sometimes the answer is just sit there and wait a little while. But if we're seeking the Lord, He will answer. May not be what we want, like I said. But He has taken notice. Why? Because if you have been saved by Jesus Christ, if you have accepted the blood penalty that He paid there on the cross of Calvary, you have asked Him to save your soul, then the Holy Spirit now indwells you. You're His. You've been adopted into the family of God. Church, we can go to the hospital right now and take and draw some of my daughter's blood and draw some of my blood, and DNA will show you that she is my daughter. The law of the land says that when I write out my will, I can leave her out of it, though. She might have been an accident. I didn't really want her. That the law can look at it that way. By the way, baby, I love you and I want you. But you know what else? The law says that if I were to take, say, Aiden and Xander there, my buddies, and I were to adopt them, the law says that I must put them in my will. Why? Because I deliberately chose to bring them into my life. My Bible tells me there in Ephesians chapter number 3 that I have been adopted according to the good pleasure of His will. Church, if you've been adopted by Jesus Christ, you're His. He's going to take notice of you. He just wants you to come to Him, to bring it to Him, to let Him know how you feel, to let Him know what you're going through, and He will supply all your needs. But we have to be willing to bring it to Him. Are we? Are we being selfish? Bible also tells us that we are His bond slaves. Bond servants is the word, but bond slave is the same thing. In other words, you can bought with a price. Everything that you have belongs to Him, which means all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your anxieties, praise God, that's what belongs to Him. And for you to hold on to them things, instead of turning them over to the Master, means you are stealing from Him. So that alone there is cause for us to bring Him to the throne of grace. Praise God, I love that. But not only do we see the notice taken, the notice given, the now rising, the sitting there in neutral, the needle given to us in the narrow way, but I want you to see, praise God, there's a nap. I like that, a nap. Verse number 5, I laid me down and slept. I awake, for the Lord sustained me. Bible tells us there in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 19 that there remaineth a rest for those who are in Christ Jesus. Church, when you study it out, you're going to find that of the 10 commandments, only one is not carried forward into the New Testament. As close as it comes to that verse there that I just quoted you in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 19. The only one that is not carried forward is to honor the Sabbath, to keep it holy. Jesus and the apostles talked about the other night. They did not talk about that one. The reason being is because Jesus Christ is our rest. So when we take and we turn these burdens over to the Lord, so that when we let Him know this is what's going on, and we cast all our cares upon Him, we are able to get that rest. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise God. We can go ahead and take a nap. And you know what? I feel kind of refreshed when I take a nap. I got the strength back. I got some stamina back. I got some endurance back. I can go back out there and I can do the work that needs to be done. I can go back out there and I can play with my daughter. I can go mow the lawn. I can go do this. I can go do that. Whatever it is that's needed to do. Because I got to take a nap. Spiritually speaking, church, when we rest in the Lord, instead of sitting here holding on to all these worries and these anxieties, and we're wringing our hands, oh, woe is me, who woe is me, who woe is me? We're not resting. Lord, it's yours. I can't do nothing about it. Father, this is something as simple as needing results for an MRI to find out what's wrong with the leg. It's yours. Father, we got a wedding coming up. It's yours. Father, the back's hurting. It's yours. Now, yeah, there are things that we need to do on our part. Pastor needs to rest his back, needs to get some heat on there and ice at night. Maybe get a nice little massage going there. Loosen up that back. But turn it over to the Lord first. And then do your part. Try to do your part, not get results. Turn over to the Lord, then do your part and get results. Be able to rest. Verse number 6. I want you to see the net that the enemy tries to throw on us then. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That lion will not be able to devour you so long as you're not letting him. Hey, come here, buddy. You ever seen someone roar like that? Do it. Now, I put my hand in the lion's mouth. I'm asking for trouble. Okay? I don't understand why the lion tamers at the zoo do that, or at the circus do that. I cheer for the lion every time! I do. Do it again. Okay? Come on. Now I've got a roaring lion. No, I don't want nothing to do with that. I'm going to go on over here where there's no roaring lion. It's pretty simple. Xander, come on over here, buddy. Stay there, right? Stay right there, Aiden. You're still doing your roar. All right, Xander. Do the roar.
Roar!
All right, yeah! I like that.
I make you look
now, bad. Do you see me going by them? No. But they're casting a net. They're trying to encircle me. Come on over here, boys. Come on, get me. Come get me.
Roar, 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 roar.
They're back there. You know what I'm doing? I'm coming over this way. Okay? They're trying to shovel me with this net, but I'm not letting them do it. Church, if we're going to let the enemy encircle us, we're asking for trouble. We're asking to be defeated. We are asking to be killed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, whatever the case is, because we are going where they are at. But now, I'm going to go up here where the Lord is, and they can't follow me. Lord, I need you. I've got lions out there. But you know what? The Lord says, don't worry about those little kitty cats. Daniel got thrown into the den of lions.
He got him a good night's sleep. Why? Because he was able to rest in the Lord. Because no matter how many nets the enemy tried to get him with, no matter how narrow they tried to make it with, he was able to trust in the Lord. Thank you, boys. I appreciate it. Go ahead and sit down. Church is the same way. Just like Daniel was able to rest there in the den of lions, we can rest too if we'll trust in the Lord. There is more reason to trust in Him. You know what though? They never learned. Even though I was taking walking down the pews there, Xander and Aiden, they were trying to follow me, and then they came back up this way. The enemy's never going to learn. The enemy's constantly going to be harassing us, constantly is going to be attacking us, constantly is going to be nipping at our heels. Verse number 7 says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." But you notice twice in that verse, it says, "thou hast." That's past tense. It's happened before. It's going to happen again. Don't worry about it. Because while the enemy may not learn their lesson, we should learn our lesson. We should be able to take the takeaway from this and go forward with it. He says, "Arise, O Lord, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies." Not just some, not just a few, not just a select chosen group, but all of my enemies. He says, "thou hast smitten all mine enemies." The word smitten there, that reminds me of the word slap. In other words, God's already gone out there and He's already, "get back away from my child. Stay back, I love my child." I want you to see verse number 8. We'll close with this verse here. I want you to see the nation. "Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah." That word "people" here means, as a congregational unit, a specific tribe, collectively as a nation. In other words, we get together. The Lord's going to take care of us. We get back with the Lord, He'll take care of us. He will preserve us. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands." But it's up to us, church. It's up to us. Will we come back to Him? Will we do as the Lord would have us to do, or are we going to do it our way? I have two questions and a statement for you this morning as the brother comes with a song of invitation. Number one, are we turning to God in all things? Or just a few. Second question is this. Is there something in your life you need to hand over to Him? Now's the time to do it. And my statement is this. Let's let Him do His part for us, so that we can do our part for Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We pray, Father, for Your blessings upon this day. And I pray, Father, that each and every one of us was able to take something out of this sermon. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our hearts and to our lives, to go forth and to not be afraid, to not fear, but to trust all the more in You. We thank You, Father, for all You've done for us. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. What page do you have for us, brother?
I give thanks.
Let's all stand.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, once again for this joy, this opportunity to be here at the Whiting Baptist. And we do pray, Father, that you help us all, Lord, to, as we go about our separate ways, to honor you and to follow your holy will. We thank you, Lord, for once again, Father, for getting the privilege to stand up here to fill in for Pastor Max. And we do pray, Father, for him, Lord, for the healing in his back and that he'd be able to get back up here as quickly as possible to do as you've called him to do. Pray, Father, for all the prayer requests, Lord, that you'd answer them as you see fit. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You are at liberty.
Thank you, Brother Dennis.